Welcome back to another episode of Mike and Beans here on the Monday. Action-packed weekend of college hoops. Really, really good action. Multiple ranked matchups on Friday, and it did not disappoint. We're obviously going to start with the Alabama versus Purdue game. Purdue takes advantage of being on their home court in Mackey Arena. Gets a win over the second-ranked Tide. That's 39 straight regular season non-conference wins, 21 straight home wins. Another double-double for Braden Smith, 17 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. I think the story, though, is Trey Kaufman-Wren. What a performance by the Purdue's new center. I mean, he's playing the 5 for them right now. But what a performance, 26 points, 8 rebounds, 12 of 23 shooting. Alabama could not stop his offensive play in the paint. That right shoulder shot, Alabama had no answer for. He had 14 points on post-ups on Friday. Grant Nelson was having nightmares. And Purdue got their biggest win of the season so far.
Yeah, TKR was awesome. I don't think we had seen enough through the first three games to finally get that version of TKR we wanted to see, that breakout. We saw it in this game against Alabama. He was excellent. He was just giving Grant Nelson the business almost the entire game. Did everything you could possibly have asked him to do. Just, I mean, near flawless performance from Trey Kaufman-Wren. I think he is definitely better served for this team, especially with the Jacobson injury at the 5. And I think he proved that. They're obviously going to play some spot minutes where he's at the 4. You run a Will Berg, you run some of these other bigs they have. But, man, he was awesome. And another note, you mentioned Braden Smith had a double-double, 17 points, 10 assists. One turnover. 10 assists to one turnover against one of the 5 best teams in the country. That's crazy. Purdue as a team only had 3 turnovers. That is how you win a game against Alabama. You take care of the ball, you just do what you're supposed to do, and you hit shots. And Braden Smith was excellent. He didn't even shoot the ball great in this game. He was flawless.
You look at the Boilermakers and their starting lineup, you know, they're 3 stars, Braden Smith, TKR, and Fletcher Lawyer. You know, those are the 3 guys that are going to give you offensive production. And TKR, obviously 26, Braden Smith, 17, and then Fletcher Lawyer added 17. Your stars played very well, and you got so much production out of them. And that's, you know, that's a big reason why they won. One of the, I think, most underrated performances of the Friday game was TJ Cox.
Yep.
I don't know if you watched, you probably watched the second half, but 11 points off the bench. He himself had a 9-0 run with 9:13 left to go in the second half. Hit his first 3 to put Purdue up 66-65. Then another, and then another, forcing Bama to call a timeout. And Purdue kind of, I wouldn't say they exactly ran away, but they controlled the game after that, and, you know, Bama didn't come back. What a performance by him. You know, that was really cool to see by freshman. That place was going nuts when he hit that heat check 3 right before the timeout. But, you know, Bama also went cold a little bit in the second half. They did not shoot well from 3 again. You're probably not going to expect that much going forward. But 9 of 29 from 3 for the Crimson Tide, especially for a team that relies on the 3 ball so much, probably the main reason why they lost.
Yeah, so it looks like CJ Cox, when he was being recruited, he was only a 3-star recruit. He was not someone that popped off. There was only one high major team that recruited him, Purdue. It was Purdue or a couple Ivy League teams for him. This was a kid who completely fell under the radar, and Matt Painter has done an excellent job at getting kids who fly under the radar to be very effective college players. He did that with CJ Cox. He's showing it with CJ Cox, at least, and he did that with Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, 2 3-star, former 3-star recruits. For most teams, it's like you get a 3-star and every fan base thinks they have a diamond in the rough, and then usually they don't. It seems like Purdue was just able to find these diamonds in the rough. Cox was excellent. He's been very good for them all season long. He's good for them in their exhibition game. He's good for them in this game. He's going to be a really good player for them. That is just a great pickup and clearly a sharp kid and someone a lot of teams missed out on.
Yeah, no, I thought Purdue hit timely 3s in the second half, not only by Cox, but other players as well. But, you know, going back to Alabama, you hold Mark Sears to 1 of 6 from 3. He only had 15 points. That's not a lot considering, you know, how good Mark Sears is. And then Jaren Stevenson, 0 for 13 from 3 to start this season. I think he went 0 for 4 on Friday. You're not going to get a performance from this Alabama team that, you know, that poorly from the 3 ball going forward. Purdue obviously, you know, got a little lucky there. But this was a really close game in the first half. And, you know, up until that 10-minute mark, I'd say, when Purdue started to pull away, Bama was hanging in there. I thought they were playing, you know, slightly better at that point. But I think Purdue used Mackey Arena to the full advantage and ended up pulling away. It was a great game. Definitely the type of game that you want to see early in the season more going forward. And Alabama has definitely set up a schedule where there are going to be great games early in the season like that. And Purdue will go to Alabama next year. But what a game. Really fun to watch.
Yeah, talking about Alabama's upcoming schedule, Illinois comes to town, and I believe that's a neutral-sided game because I think it's at Birmingham. Then they play in that one of those invitationals where they will play Houston and Rutgers back-to-back. Then I believe they'll have a third game 2 days after the Rutgers game. Then they finally get a break. They go at North Carolina, and then Creighton comes to town. They are playing an absolute gauntlet, and even in the early season portion of the schedule, Arkansas State and McNeese are two of the best mid-major teams in the country. They're proving that they will play anybody, anytime, anywhere. That it's admirable, and this team is going to be very tested come SEC play. They will be ready for SEC play. I can guarantee you that.
Well, with the new AP poll coming out, literally, what, 30 minutes or about 30 minutes ago, that's six straight ranked teams if you count the Purdue game. Like you said, Illinois Wednesday, and then the tournament you're thinking of is the Players Era Festival. When they'll play Houston and Rutgers back to back. And then obviously going on the road to North Carolina. Oh boy. I mean, no one wants to go to Chapel Hill, you know, and face a tough Tar Heels team when they don't lose at home much. But I think Nate Oates is a genius for doing this because when the tournament comes around, you're going to face these tough teams back to back to back to back. It's what's going to test them. This is a major test for this Alabama team. You kind of think of it. You're like, okay, what would impress you record-wise against these teams? If they, you know, sweep the six-game stretch or the next five games, they should probably move up to number one, right? But I just don't see that with how tough these teams are. I mean, what a game that Houston-Bama game is going to be. Yeah. North Carolina-Bama, I mean, that's up in the air. That'll go 50-50. I guess take advantage of the easier teams, like take advantage of Illinois at home. And then Creighton, I believe Alabama hosts Creighton as well. I say take advantage of the games at home. Rutgers, you're better on paper. But then the Houston and North Carolina games are obviously going to be the toughest, but an exciting stretch and definitely the most difficult stretch for one team coming up, I think, these next five games for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, they'll without a doubt have the best non-conference strike schedule in the country. And what, you go 4-2 in these games? It obviously depends on how you play, how you look. But, like, you go 4-2 in these games, I feel like we're going to be pretty impressed. Like, and they'll be ready. And this will just make them better for SEC play, better tournament time, et cetera. I love that they're testing themselves. Makes it so much more fun as fans. Makes it so much more better. I think it'll make it better for the team in the long run, too. So I'm really looking forward to this stretch.
Talk about schedule. Well, Purdue has a tough game tomorrow. They will go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to play Marquette. And Marquette's coming off an impressive win at College Park. We talked about him on a Friday, Cam Jones. I think I said, you know, I'm not counting out Marquette in this. You can never really count out Marquette in a game just because of how good Cam Jones. Well, Cam Jones, 28 points on 10 of 18 shooting. This season so far through four games, he's shooting 71.4% from two and 54.5% from three. He is so valuable to Shaka Smart's team. Stevie Mitchell also 18 points, 6 of 10 from the field. Just a really impressive win in College Park. I mean, Maryland's Derek Queen, you talked about him on Friday. He did his thing. 24 points. He played exceptionally well, considering that he's also a freshman. And then Jacoby Gillespie also 24 points. That's a good Maryland team, and that's a really good win for Shaka Smart.
Yeah, talk about Cam Jones. He looks like an All-American. He might be the best scoring guard in the country. He was awesome. Anytime Marquette needed a big bucket, it was Cam Jones. And that three he hit from, like, the logo was like, oh, my goodness. That felt like the game, just watching it live. He was incredible. He's just so, so talented. Yeah, Cam Jones is awesome. And Marquette team will go as far as he goes, and he's going to go pretty far. So I assume he'll be able to carry Marquette. You got a good game from Stevie Mitchell, as you mentioned. With Marquette, they're always going to be looking for who can be that second option. This game, it was Stevie Mitchell. You're hoping down the line David Joplin is playing better. It's been Chase Ross a lot this year. He's definitely taken a real jump. Really good athlete and playing at a pretty high level. You definitely need a consistent second option if you're Marquette. But, man, yeah, they're awesome. Cam Jones is special. He's really just special. He has taken a leap this year without Kolick and without Iguodaro that they absolutely needed him to. And it's going to be really fun to watch. And with Maryland, you mentioned how good Derek Queen is. He's awesome. He's a one and done. and you're going to get more out of – you got a lot out of Jacoby Gillespie. You're going to need more out of some of your guards, Selton, Miguel. DHS probably isn't like a big-time scorer, but like you're going to need some production out of him. Rodney Rice off the bench was really good for you in the early season. But, man, yeah, Cam Jones is awesome. This was a really high-level game. Got kind of dumb at the end just because Marquette was leading, and then they just turned the ball over a couple times, and then both teams missed like two, four free throws combined. That was crazy, but, man, Cam Jones is special, just special, and this was a really good game.
Yeah, keep in mind, tomorrow, with Purdue's win against Alabama, that's 39 straight regular season non-conference wins. So obviously, you know, Purdue, Marquette, Marquette's in the Big East, Purdue in the Big Ten. There's a chance that this streak snaps tomorrow.
I mean, it'll probably be like a 50-50 type game, so like it absolutely can snap tomorrow.
Yeah, no, and I think we might be getting the best point guard matchup of the season. I think I said Friday we were getting one of the best between Mark Sears and Braden Smith, but now it's Braden Smith versus Cam Jones.
I feel like those three are the three best point guards in the country, because RJ Davis more of a two. So I feel like it's those three.
I think Braden Smith and Cam Jones right now, just what they mean to their teams. Obviously, Mark Sears means so much to that Alabama squad, but Alabama is so deep that they don't need Mark Sears to, you know, have a 25-point game. There's so much surrounding talent on that tie team. You know, where we've seen this year with Marquette, Cam Jones, non-Cam Jones shooting these past two games for Marquette, they're 13 of 49 on non-Cam Jones shots. I was reading that. That's 26.5%. And that circles back to your point. Marquette needs to find that solid number two, whether it's going to be Joplin or Stevie Mitchell. But it just shows how valuable Cam Jones is for this Marquette team, and even Braden Smith, like a double-double machine. He's close to, you know, close to triple doubles as well for, you know, a point guard. You don't expect that from a point guard. He's also just a floor general, Purdue's leader. You can always rely on Braden Smith to, you know, work in that pick and roll. It's just awesome to watch. We're going to get a great matchup tomorrow, and I'm really excited to watch it.
Yeah, very excited to watch this one too. High-level guard matchup, and you're going to see what you can get from the other guys. If a Ben Gold can contain a TKR, if you can get that second guy going for Marquette, this game's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Quickly, Arizona was at Wisconsin on Friday, and Wisconsin put up 100 points. Wisconsin comes out with a win. Kind of a ugly game, if you'd say. A lot of fouls. Definitely more fouls than you wanted to see. Wisconsin couldn't miss. We talked about this game on Friday. It's going to be an ugly defensive battle. That was the opposite. So what'd you take away from this performance, Mike?
Yeah.
John Tonji transferred in from – he started his career at Colorado State, played 4 years there, transferred in from Missouri, played like 9 games, averaged like 2 points, did nothing. And went to Wisconsin kind of under the radar, but like people remembered him from Colorado State, and you're like, this kid can be better. I don't know if anyone expected him to be 41 points good. 21 to 22 from the free throw line, but 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3. He was excellent. He was the best player on the floor in this game, without a doubt. He was incredible. And yeah, you mentioned it, 87 combined free throws in this game. That is ugly. But man, Tonji gave you everything you could have asked for, and you got a decent performance from John Blackwell and Max Klesmit, but Tonji was just awesome. And it didn't matter that Arizona, somehow it didn't matter, that Arizona out-rebounded Wisconsin on the offensive glass 24-2. Arizona took 22 more shots in this game, but they just couldn't hit anything. Definitely partial credit to Wisconsin's defense, but yeah, just not a great game from Arizona. You had a good game from Jaden Bradley, 22, 7 of 14 from the field, and Trey Townsend, 6 of 10, 17 points, gave you enough, but the rest of the guys were off. But man, John Tonji was special in this game, and he looks like a guy who was breaking through in his final season of college basketball. That was a special performance.
We talked about on Friday that Wisconsin doesn't have, you know, a go-to star. He doesn't have a guy that you can rely on to maybe hit a big shot. Well, I think John Tonji told me to shut up because, like you said, what a performance, 41 points. Going back to last year, he said he didn't play much, only played in 8 games. He scored a total of 21 points in those 8 games at Missouri last year. And then he scores 41. This is a I was reading up on this game. It was the first time Wisconsin broke 100 points against a high major team since 1993. it's the first time they did it against a ranked opponent since 1970. I mean, what a performance by Wisconsin.
Only took 47 free throws to do it, by the way.
I was watching and it was just like, oh my gosh, another foul. Game took so long. Just the refs needed to eat their whistle a little bit. But that I don't think that can take away from Wisconsin's exceptional shooting, Tanji's great performance. And I'm pretty sure in the first half, Wisconsin built 15-point, 20-point lead, and Arizona did come back to take the lead in the second half. They just couldn't pull away, and obviously Wisconsin just started to hit big threes near the latter half of the second half. Definitely a great win for Wisconsin, that resume. Wisconsin's 4-0. They come into the AP poll for the first time this year. And speaking of the AP poll was released about 45 minutes ago. Not a lot of changes. They drop Alabama to number 8. Michael, I just asked this, even though it might be too early to talk about any surprises on the AP poll for week 3.
Not really. Nothing like really jumped out at me. It's like, oh, this is awful. It's just like, yeah, we're still learning about these teams. We're still downloading a bit of information. So it's kind of tough to say like anything. I feel like Wisconsin's a little too high, but also it's like they also just beat a top 20 team. So like makes sense why people move them up. I still think we're learning. I still think Texas Tech should be on here. I think they're better than a good chunk of teams that have made that at least fill out the bottom part of the rankings, but nothing too surprising. We still got to learn about these teams. And as we learn more, we'll have more takes on this. But like for now, it's like, yeah, this makes sense. I feel like Alabama's also a little too low. I still think they're better than 8, but again, it's so early that you have to react to these games to some degree. And it's just kind of hard to balance. We don't have enough information to find that balance yet.
We're coming up to the point of the season where we go to these holiday tournaments. And that's where, you know, you're going to get some great ranked matchups. We already talked about Alabama's schedule. Bahamas, Battle for Atlantis, the Jordan Classic. You know, those are all going to be very, very interesting to watch. And obviously the rankings will fluctuate from here as we go. But like you said, kind of too early. I agree with you. I think Alabama's a little too low at 8. Each team up top besides Kansas moved up one spot. UConn goes to 2. Gonzaga goes to 3. Auburn's at 4. It's been a fun start to the season, which is great. So,
oh, absolutely. We're getting high-level games. And the games being so good caused teams to raise, drop, whatever. And I think that's kind of – I mean, that is exactly what early season college basketball is for. And I love it. And we'll definitely learn more as we get more games in. But these one-off games have been so much fun. And once we, as you mentioned, once we hit Feast Week, we're going to learn so much more about these teams. And Feast Week still was fun.
Yep. Well, Purdue and Marquette is the game that stands out tomorrow. And then Alabama hosts Illinois on Wednesday. Should be a good slate to talk about. We'll be back later this week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Mike and Beans. We will catch you later. Thanks, Mike.
Peace. Alabama's going to lay a smackdown in Illinois, by the way.